Welcome back to Lounging with Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
And today we are joined by the lovely Shelley Devine. She is one of our English teachers, and we wanted to interview her today about how she became an English teacher, and in particular about vocabulary, because she is doing lots of vocab stuff at the moment in our school. So Shelley, introduce yourself.
Okay, so hi everyone. I'm Shelley Devine, or Mrs. Devine. Some of you may have been taught by me. If you haven't, you might be taught by me in the future. I haven't always been an English teacher. So would you like me to talk through my route to becoming?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so, well, I started out, so I'm from Coventry, which is about an hour south of Nottingham. It's got a terrible football team, but we're coming back on top if anyone's into football. I actually found school really challenging. I wasn't in many of the top sets when I was at school. I found it a real difficulty. And when I was in year nine, I had a really fantastic set of teachers that enabled me to go to kind of a college one day a week. And I went and did performing arts alongside all of my education. So I actually did a college degree alongside all of my GCSEs as well. So it was really, really difficult because I had almost twice as much work. But it really, really helped me because I found school really difficult and kind of performing I found really easy. So doing so much performance then helped me gain confidence in the classroom, and I found almost my voice through it. So when I then left school, after doing my GCSEs, I went and studied performing arts at college, and I went all the way through college doing performing arts, and then I actually studied it at university, and I was really, really unsure what to do about whether to go to university or go to a drama school, and I applied to both, and I got into Birmingham School of Acting, but I massively chickened out is what happened. I got really, really scared. And I thought, oh my God, what if I become famous and people don't like me? And I got really self-conscious and I dropped my place at drama school and thought, I'm going to go and do the academic course. And I studied drama and drama education at the University of De Montfort. But whilst I was at university in my third year, I kind of found a bit of a love for teaching, and I helped with an after-school curriculum club in a local school. I really enjoyed it, but I was still really unsure. So when I came out of uni, I did the typical thing that most 21-year-olds do. Had a panic attack, if you will, not sure what I wanted to do in life. So I turned to baking for a little while.
Baking.
As you do. And I kind of got this really weird job working for Nottingham University. And I did all of their like baking for their student cafes. So I did that for a little while, but they kind of offered me like an apprenticeship. So they said, you know, would you like to become like a patisserie chef? And I thought, oh, that's a really good idea. Maybe I'll do that. But as you do, and you're 21 and you're not really sure, I thought, I know, I'm just going to explore some other options as well before I make a decision. You know, they'd said to me they would accept me onto this course to train to be a pastry chef, or I could obviously go and do something else. So I kind of landed in this really weird job as like a supply teacher randomly. I just thought, I'll give it a go and see what happens. And about a week into just doing random supply in different schools, I just fell in love with it. And so I actually worked for a couple of years as kind of an unqualified teacher, going around different schools, things like that. I then got a job at a school in Coventry, which was actually the school that I then went to. So it was a school I went to as a kid. I then became a member of staff there, which was very, very strange, you know, being able to call your PE teacher by his first name. And then I worked there for a couple of years as what they call a higher level teaching assistant. And I worked within the English department and then trained to become a teacher after that. So I had a bit of a unique guide into education. It wasn't the most conventional route, but it was definitely one that helped me, because all along the way, before I became a teacher, I learned more about students. I learned more about what it means to be a teacher. I understood more than maybe some of the teachers, the struggles that some children faced, because I was on their side. I was sat in the classroom with them, helping them and understanding where they were, you know, finding some things difficult and what their struggles were. So it was really interesting to have that experience, because I think it's made me a better teacher because of it.
So my question is, why are you not a drama teacher?
A lot of my qualifications were in drama, but they were in the very theoretical aspects of drama. And as probably most students know, you study plays in English. So I found it really interesting when I was doing my degree and I was doing my master's to really study the more academic sides of plays. So I kind of fell into a more English-based degree by accident, but I kind of loved the academic side of drama more. So it became more natural then to become an English teacher because of my academic studies.
One of your official titles is Curriculum Literacy Lead. So what does that mean?
Oh, okay. So it's a big, big title, isn't it? And it's very hard to define. But what I essentially do is I look at how students learn words and how they develop their reading skills across all of the subjects in the school. So you might see me popping into lessons and having a little look at your book, what you're reading, seeing what the teacher might be doing to help you read something. So my job really is to help teachers understand some of the difficulties that students face in reading, and perhaps help teachers to develop the vocabulary that students use when they are writing their work or they are talking about what they have learned.
So when you talk about vocab, you use a very interesting word to describe it.
Yes. So do you mean etymology?
Yes, which I love that, because it's one of those words that describes something, but it's like it sounds harder than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny word for something that is very simple. It essentially means the origin of language. So one of the things that I'm really fascinated with is looking at where words come from. And I think probably my fascination with this stems from probably Shakespeare. And even though language was created, you know, way before Shakespeare, I think it's really interesting because Shakespeare invented so many words that have become part of our everyday language, our everyday vernacular. So for me, I find where words come from really, really interesting. And what's even more interesting in terms of the etymology is that words throughout history have really changed, and they've in some ways been kind of smushed together. So words can be broken down into different parts. And within those parts, there's different kind of meanings. So what we've done over time is kind of smush different words together to almost create new words, which is really, really interesting.
That is interesting. Makes you wonder how we find meaning in anything we say.
I know. Yeah. But you know what? The really interesting thing with etymology is once you start to understand how words are broken down, you can then start to kind of find other words with those same components. Words are often split into kind of two or three components. So they normally start out with two or three letters at the beginning, and that's called a prefix. And then you have a word in the middle often, and that's often a root word. So the way the word began is often the root word. Think about like the roots of a tree. They ground the word. That's the original part. And then sometimes you have a couple of letters on the end, and that's called a suffix. So when you smush the prefix, the root word and the suffix all together, it makes one word that has normally like one meaning. But if you break the word down into the three components, you can understand what the word perhaps means in terms of how it's been created. So a good example probably of this, of just maybe a two-part word, is things like thermometer. That's a really good example of this. Because thermo, you know, that means heat, and that kind of has Latin roots. So it comes from Latin, and it kind of means, you know, heat, thermo, heat. And then you have as well meter, and meter kind of means measure. So putting them together creates this this new idea that we are measuring heat. But you can separate them out as well and they mean two different things. But what we've done is smush them together to create one thing, one meaning from a word.
Shelley, I think that was a fantastic example. That was great.
I know, I feel like I know English now.
Yeah. How have you taken this to the other departments?
So one of the things that is really interesting, and some people might have started noticing this in lessons already, but something you'll definitely start noticing moving forward as you come back in September or whenever that is that you will start to see some of your teachers talking a little bit more about this. So we've had lots and lots of meetings with lots of teachers now, and we've started just really showing them the power of understanding vocabulary because, you know, in science, for example, loads of the words have the same prefix, yeah? The word cos, for example, for cosmology, you might have that cos in loads of words. And if you understand what that prefix means in one word, you might understand by almost guessing a little bit what other words mean that have the same prefix. So teachers are now starting to use that a little bit more in their lessons to help you understand how to almost figure out what words might mean. So that's something that will be a big development, something that I'm hoping you'll see in a lot of your lessons.
Well, I thought that was really interesting, talking about language and how it can be broken down. I'm interested to see how this vocab is used later on in the school year. But we must talk about books. We must talk about books. So what have you been reading?
Oh, tell you what, I've been teaching a lot at the moment of Jekyll and Hyde, which is a fantastic book that we study at GCSE. But sometimes when I'm reading a book because I'm teaching it, what I then do is like to read other books that are about similar topics. And one of the books I've been reading at the moment, which is absolutely fascinating, is a book called The Five, The Untold Stories of the Women Killed by Jack the Ripper. It's so good and it's very interesting. I think in terms of my own tastes in books, I really like books that are all about escapism. I don't like things that are set kind of in you know, society today, in our current lives, or even maybe 20 years ago. I like things that are set kind of a couple of hundred years ago, or in a different country, or in a made-up land. I like books that really, you know, help you to escape your own time period. And this book is fantastic at doing that. It kind of immerses you in kind of the late Victorian era and just the world of Jack the Ripper and what the world was like, you know, when he was, you know, famous or becoming famous for these hideous murders. The book really is actually a detective novel, if you will, into the lives of these women, because, you know, people thought that they were one thing and actually they were not. And that's really interesting. So what the writer does, Hallie Rubenhold, she kind of exposes the truth about these women that were killed. And it's the first time that anybody has ever kind of delved into history in the way that she has. So it's really, really interesting read.
So did he kind of befriend his victims then?
Do you know what? The thing that we never really know, and this is the interesting thing about the book, is we never really know the story from his perspective. What Hallie Rubenhold does is she kind of tracks the lives of the women. So she tells us, you know, that about their upbringing, about their lives and what they did and their accomplishments, and sometimes the things that didn't go so well in their lives. And then she kind of leads us towards the time period in their lives where they were murdered, but then she stops. And that's almost a bit frustrating, but I think the reason she does it is because it's about their lives rather than their kind of infamous reputation from the murder. So it's kind of giving them a life and giving them a voice instead of just making them, you know, a character almost that was murdered.
Sounds fascinating.
Definitely worth a read.
So A huge thanks to Shelley for joining us on our podcast today. Have a look at some vocab. See if you can split it up into those three components that Shelley mentioned. And check out that book. I know it's one that's on my reading list. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And from me.